O Lord God and Heavenly Father, Thou who art most gracious and merciful, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, we call upon Thee this morning in the name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our propitiation, who has made peace with Thee, by whose work the wall of partition has been torn down. And now we can come boldly to Thy throne of grace and there obtain mercy and help in time of need. Thou art the unchanging God, Lord. When we call upon Thee, we know, because Thy word has told us, that we may find help. But Thou dost know the way of those who seek Thee. Thou dost care for them and watch over them. Thou dost supply them. For Thou dost not change. But for those, Father, who turn aside from Thee, Thou art ready to bring to justice. As our hearts are often such as they tend to turn away, we call upon Thee by Thy Spirit to bring and to change our hearts, to bring our hearts to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in Him and to trust Him, that all of our lives may be such as to give testimony to our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let our words, let the words of our mouth, and let our lives, the things that we do, be consistent with one another. For Father, we have sinned against Thee. We have fallen far short of Thy word, fallen far short of Thy glory. We have omitted from our lives things that we ought to do, and we have done things that we ought not. So we pray that Thy cleansing blood, the blood of the Lamb, Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may wash us from sin, cleansing our hearts, that we may rejoice in Thy salvation. With the psalmist, we pray that Thou wouldst blot out our transgressions. Then may we teach sinners Thy way and draw them to Thyself through Thy Spirit. We ask Thee, Father, to bless our church this morning and all who are with us here. We are thankful, Father, for the work of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to give His life a ransom for many. And Thou hast received this sacrifice, and therefore all who come to Jesus Christ, all who come to Thee through Jesus Christ, may find peace and hope by believing in Him. We ask Thee, Father, that through Thy word this morning, which is preached, Thou wouldst draw to Thyself those that know not Christ, that Thou wouldst bless those who are in Christ, Thou wouldst give comfort to those who sorrow, strength those who are weak, healing to those who are sick. Bless us today, we pray, that the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom may be established throughout this city, that our church may be used to send forth a sound to the world that Jesus lives, that he has died, that he has risen again, that he now sits at thy right hand as King of kings and Lord of lords, that we may come to him in peace and in hope. So we call upon thee to bless us. We ask thee to be with the officers and the teachers of our congregation as plans have been made, and thou hast seen fit to bring these plans to fruition. Now we see the building of a sanctuary developing. We ask thee, Father, to use this plant to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thee that thou wouldst guide the officers of our church as they seek to continue our testimony in this city, that our work here will be used for thy glory. We pray, Father, for the teachers that teach our young people, our children, and ourselves, that we may be fed by thy word, that their trust may be in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be faithful to thy word and spread the good word of the Lord Jesus Christ to all here. That our children and our young people and ourselves may be prepared to serve thee day after day. We pray for our land this day. We pray and call upon thee to work thy will in our midst as we approach an election day, that the man of thy choosing will be elected, that our nation may live in righteousness, freedom, that thy word may be continued to be preached freely in all our land. We ask thee to bless those in our congregation this morning who are ill. Hear our prayer this morning. May thy will be done in our hearts and lives. We call upon thee that this hour may all be done in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. The hymn number 257, I Serve a Risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. The hymn number 257. Let us sing. as it is read from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul's great argument concerning the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that which also I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all how that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Then he was seen of James. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored the more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is not Christ risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then them that are Christ's at his coming. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put on all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. May our God bless to each one of us this his own holy word. Execute thine office of a prophet, we pray thee, Lord Jesus, in revealing to us by thy word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Amen. From the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. A question frequently asked me is this: the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
Since the fourth commandment says the seventh day, why do we worship on the first day? And I think Christians should take very seriously that question. I don't think it's too hard to answer. But it's answered only if we appreciate the position which the resurrection of Jesus Christ plays in the whole teaching of God. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a matter that is hypothetical, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't happen. After all, how can we be sure is the way the argument goes. After all, George Gershwin says, the Bible says, but tain't necessarily so. Or if we follow the neo-orthodox, if you will, the Barthians, and we go to the sepulcher with a camera, and if we were to open the lens when Jesus came out of the tomb, would it show on the film? Could we take a picture of his body? And Christians listen to these siren voices as if the voice of learning, the voice of charm, the voice of intriguing ideas could present the truth. And I'm speaking by way of warning, as I hope every sermon is. And I'm speaking by way of encouragement and by way of comfort. And I would like to assure you, my friends, that the question of the resurrection of Christ has been fought over for 1900 years, and there is not the slightest reason for a believing heart to be in any doubt of the fact. And when the women came to the sepulchre that morning, asking themselves a stupid question, who shall roll away the stone? Stupid because if they couldn't roll it away, what business did they have out there? But if they had an understanding of what Jesus had promised, then it was stupid because they would know that God himself would roll away that stone. And when they arrived at the sepulchre, that's what they found. The guard had fled. The seal had been broken. The stone rolled away, and two men in white sat there and said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen, as he said. And yet we need to have our hearts refreshed, don't we? That when they said, he is not here, what did they mean? His spirit was not here? No. They meant what we automatically believe them to mean spontaneously, that those women understood. His body was not there. The same body with which he was crucified was laid in the sepulchre. And that body, according to these men, was reanimated, revivified, quickened, brought to life, was raised from the dead. And there is absolutely no other way of interpreting the word of God. Read for yourself what Paul's talking about. Why should I get so enthusiastic about this? This is not Easter Sunday. Because, my friends, we've been studying prophecy and its fulfillment, and I have tried to present to you only what I'm absolutely sure of. I have no intriguing ideas about the 144,000 or the horses and the chariots, and the blood up to the horses' bits. But I have this promise that Jesus is coming. And when he comes, he's going to destroy the man of sin. When he comes, he's going to speak the word, and the graves will be opened, and the earth and the sea shall give up their dead. And the apostle says the reason we know this is by a series of syllogisms, logical arguments. But they hinge entirely on this fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Why do we celebrate the fourth commandment on the first day? Because Jesus was raised on the first day. And if that's not enough argument for anybody, you'll never convince them for anything else, because that's the reason. And that's the way the apostles celebrated that day. They came together to worship. They came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first day. Why? Because Jesus had been raised from the dead, and because he had been raised from the dead, therefore, our salvation has been wrought out, not in some ethereal ideas of man's devising, but by hard fact to which men of that day bore testimony, that the sepulchre was empty. He was buried, the apostle says. What was buried? His body was buried, and that he rose the third day. But what does that mean? Well, the passage that I read for you last Sunday from 1 Thessalonians says this, that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We said in the creed just a few moments ago, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And people have laughed at me, and I would rather expect them to laugh at me when I say that I believe that this body that God gave me to live in, it's the only house I know, it's the only residence that my soul has, that this body, when Jesus comes again, is going to be revivified, made alive, glorified in the likeness of his own glorious person. Why should I believe that? Well, just start with the argument that the apostle says. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found perjurers, false witnesses, because we testified of God. We took an oath that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if the dead rise not. You see? If Jesus was raised from the dead, what's going to happen to believers? There's no question about it. Believers are going to be raised because Jesus was raised. Don't miss the force of the apostle's argument. He's not saying because Jesus was raised, there's a possibility that believers will be raised. Because Jesus was raised, it becomes an apparent fact, obvious, to the believing heart, that the believer will be raised. And then when I get to that point in my argument, people begin to say, well, what about those who were hit by shells and you couldn't pick up enough to take back to the cemetery. You know good and well that in Normandy, in that 29th Division cemetery there, that the bodies of the boys that were all torn to pieces have disintegrated now. There was no embalming procedure there. They've all disintegrated. They've all gone back to the dust. But, beloved, that's the very point. That the power of God operated in the body of Jesus to bring him to life. And the power of God is going to operate in the body of believers to bring them to life. Let's see if we can't take a very easy way of ascertaining this. Of course, if you don't believe that Jesus' body was reanimated, you'll have no ground for believing what I'm going to set before you now. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That is going to be an undeniable fact, isn't it? It's prophesied. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Those of us who don't die, who are alive when Jesus comes. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right. Now let us suppose this afternoon I have a heart attack. And I die. Only at 7 o'clock this evening, Jesus comes again. I know what the reaction is. You're being simplistic now. Yes, of course, I have to be, because I'm not very bright. If Jesus should come 3 hours after I die, what will happen to my body? The same thing that happened to Jesus' body on the third day. Reanimated, revivified, made alive. Yes, but suppose it was 3 days, or 3 months, or 3 years, or 300 years. What difference does time make with God? Now, is that what the apostle was talking about, though? Well, we turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Listen. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, make alive, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, we won't accomplish this. We'll be dead. We won't accomplish this if we're living till Jesus comes again. Because we can't make that transformation in our bodies. It's the Spirit of God who's going to do this, using the same power that he used when he raised up Jesus from the dead. I suppose the first time that this really hit me was when I was preparing for my first funeral service. And I got the Book of Common Prayer of the Church of England out. And I read their committal. And what did that committal say? Forasmuch as it hath pleased Almighty God in his wise providence to take from this life the soul of our brother, we now commit his body to the ground, looking for the resurrection, looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus, at His coming in glory. The earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the corruptible bodies of those that sleep in Him shall be raised in the likeness of His own incorruptible body, according to the power whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now, where did the writers of that committal get that idea? Here we are in stark reality. Our hearts broken with grief, not knowing which way to turn. And the preacher stands there by the open grave, and he reads those words. Where do they come from? Listen. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If we're alive when Jesus comes, we won't have to die. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection of the body. And I believe in the resurrection of the body without any doubt, because the Bible teaches it. But to confirm what the Bible teaches, I've seen in the hearts and lives of those who believe this wonderful truth, that when Jesus comes again, believers will be raised up in glory. I've seen what happens to them when, as a great cataclysm, a catastrophe, a loved one is taken away from them. They feel that they have nothing left. No, they don't have anything left, except the promise of Jesus. And that's everything, isn't it? 10,000 times 10,000 in sparkling raiment bright, the armies of the ransomed saints climb up the steeps of light. 'Tis finished, all is finished, their fight with death and sin. Fling open wide the golden gates, and let the victors in. What rush of hallelujahs filled all the earth and sky? What ringing of a thousand harps bespeaks the triumph nigh, O day for which creation and all its tribes were made? O joy for all its former woes, a thousandfold repaid. Oh, then what happy greetings on Canaan's joyous shore. What knitting severed friendships up where sorrows, partings are no more. Then eyes with joy shall sparkle that brimmed with tears ere late. Orphans no longer fatherless, nor widows desolate. Bring near thy great salvation, thou Lamb for sinners slain. Make up the role of thine elect and take thy power and reign. Appear, desire of nations, thine exiles long for home. Show in the heavens thy promised sign, thou Prince and Savior come. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Our Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is that thou hast given us this promise that this life is not by any means all, that thou hast given us the hope that Jesus is coming again, and that when he comes again, those who put their trust in him shall be raised in the likeness of his own glorious person. Grant, we pray thee, that our eyes may be turned to that wonderful event, that our hearts may be filled with joy in contemplating it, that every day may be a sweet experience of expecting Jesus to come. Hear us now. For Jesus' sake, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all forevermore.